Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest joining us from the UK is Michelle Gordon, and we're going to be talking about her book and its five-year anniversary, The Earth Angel Training Academy. Michelle has been writing about the spiritual realm for 20 years. It started with poetry and short stories about ghosts, life after death, and has grown into novels about angels and fairies, alternate dimensions, and parallel universes. 5 years ago, Michelle published her first novel in the Earth Angel series, The Earth Angel Training Academy. There are now 6 books in that series, and she has a collection of 4 individual novels. Michelle is an independent author and has readers all over the world. She has many more books planned for the future, including a further 7 books in the Earth Angel series and a brand new young adult trilogy. When not writing, Michelle enjoys running her business, helping other independent authors to publish their books, and doing oracle and tarot readings. She is very creative and usually has a craft project or two on the go. And she regularly writes her blog and does oracle card readings on her YouTube channel. You can find out more about Michelle by visiting her website, which is michellegordon.co.uk. And that link is in the show page description, as well as in the description are links to her blog, YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Twitter handle. So join her on all of those social media platforms and definitely check out her website. And so then I'd like to welcome Michelle to the show. Good day, Michelle.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining me. I'm looking forward to our chat today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too.
Great. Well, you know, I usually like to start the show by having the guests give a little bit of background about themselves other than what I was given in the introduction, and, you know, just to give them a sense of who you are. So would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself and how it is that you came to be interested in writing about angels in the spiritual realm?
Sure, yeah. I mean, the writing part has always been a part of my life. I mean, I think it was about the age of 8 when I started writing stories that weren't schoolwork. and then at the age of 11, I started writing poetry. And it just sort of grew from there. I just loved creating worlds with words. There was just something kind of magical about it. And I was an avid reader. I would go through, you know, so many books in a day. I just used to scour call them charity shops, but the thrift stores for secondhand books, because I just used to read so many of them I couldn't afford to keep buying new ones. So yeah, the immersing myself in worlds and in books was just such a huge part of my life. So yeah, I wrote a lot as a child and then as a teenager. And then when I was a teenager, for some reason, I mean, I don't know whether it's sort of a stage that I went through, but I got it into my head that it would be far too difficult to really get published. This was obviously before, you know, independent publishing.
Right.
This was the beginning of the internet being popular. So it was very much still a traditional publishing world, and I thought it would be far too difficult to, you know, to go down that route. So I didn't write anything much for several years. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I then I discovered print on demand. So I discovered the whole new self-publishing revolution that was beginning. And I also discovered that it was possible to write, you know, longer pieces of work. Up until then, it'd only been very short pieces. So, yeah, I discovered NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month, which is amazing. The idea is basically that you write 50,000 words in a month. And NaNoWriMo takes place in November every year, typically, and then they do it also in another couple of months in the year as well. But I wrote my first novel the Essential Training Academy in 2 months, and I did it in April and May, mainly because once I discovered the method, I was too impatient to wait until November. So I wrote that book in 2 months, and it got me hooked because I realized that it was possible to write something longer. And also with the way that publishing was changing, I realized that it was possible to publish my work and to get it out there, that I didn't have to rely on traditional methods.
Yeah, the print on demand and the ability to self-publish is so wonderful. You know, I mean, I've taken that route myself, and you know, it's, you know, for people who are out there who feel that they have a story but feel that it, you know, sometimes might be just too overwhelming to bring it to print. You know, it's one of those things. You know, particularly with guidance, you know, from some people, that, you know, it's very attainable and something that, you know, I think we should just encourage people to continue to write, because to me, it's a wonderful, writing is just a wonderful process for me as far as getting ideas down and, you know, down on paper, and then just the whole idea of being published and talking about your books and your ideas. It's a wonderful way to, you know, promote discussion.
Absolutely, and it has just opened the whole world, you know, to people who, like me, just thought, no, it's too difficult to get published. It's opened a whole new world, and for me, you know, writing is kind of my own sort of form of therapy. You know, if something's going on in my life, then I write, you know, and I make sense of what's going on through writing, and I play with ideas and you know, get whatever's going on and just down on the page, and that really helps me. And what I've found through publishing my books and them being out there in the world is that there are people going through the exact same situations. And by reading the stories, it's helping them to figure out their own stuff. So it's kind of a form of therapy all around, really. You know, you can't kind of go wrong.
It is, you know, and I mean, you know, a lot of people journal, you know, and that's, you know, very much, you know, the form of therapy. But also, now, when you wrote the Earth Angels Training Academy, now, first of all, I'm impressed that you did it in a couple months, because it's quite a long,
long
book.
Yeah, 100,000 words in 2 months.
Yeah, 100,000 words, yeah. So, you know, that's a lot of words. A lot of words to put down. But you know, I it's interesting, because as I was reading it, I could just sense the flow that you were in when you did it. You know what I mean? It was just one of those kinds of things. It's like I could just sense you being in that world in which you were writing. You know, and you know, to me that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was very lucky at the time of writing it, because I was in a situation where I wasn't working, and I literally just immersed myself in it. So every day I was writing, and I was in that world. I don't actually really remember what was happening in my actual life around that time, because I was just literally on another planet. I mean, I was in this other dimension. I was in this other space, and, you know, I was just, my only memories of actual real life are snippets of things that were going on at the time. The rest of it was just, I was just completely immersed, and I was loving, you know, finding out what was going to happen, because I don't plan, I have no idea what's going to go on, and as I'm writing, I'm learning along with the characters, I'm finding out where it's going, what they're going to do, what's going to happen next, and I love that process. That happens pretty much with all my books. I have no idea where it's going.
Oh, that's good.
As much as a surprise to me as it is to anybody who reads it afterwards.
Yeah. When I did my first one, that was the process that happened to me. And I didn't, you know, and I've interviewed hundreds of authors, and so many of them follow the, you know, the outline, you know, very, kind of a methodical way versus, you know, just letting the story unfold day by day. And for me, it was, I was walking, I'd walk every morning in my little nature walk every morning. And, you know, and it got to the point where, you know, each day I would walk, I would kind of be told or shown what to write. And it is exciting, because you're kind of like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? I don't know.
And for me as well, the other part that I loved was when reading through it for the first time, you start to kind of go, oh, so that's why I wrote that part, because that happened later. And, oh, okay, I get that now. And, you know, you you'd realize that a lot of the stuff coming through that didn't really make a huge amount of sense at the time, just
right, yeah,
it made sense as a whole in the story, and there would be all these, you know, sort of backstories and things coming in, and you're just like, wow, you know. I mean, sometimes there have been things that have just amazed me, and people have even sort of said to me, wow, that part was really clever, and I hadn't even noticed. Because it wasn't a conscious thing. I wasn't creating, you know, I wasn't putting the red herrings in. I wasn't putting the clues in. They were just happening naturally as part of the story as I was seeing it. Because when I'm writing, I very much see the story. It's like a movie playing in my head, and I'm mm-hmm. literally just recording everything that's going on, and the words are just flowing through. Usually before I've even thought them, you know, words are just coming through, mm-hmm. you know. So if I finish something in the middle of a sentence and then go off to do something else and come back, sometimes I have absolutely no idea what I was about to say because it's, you know, it's just kind of flowing through me. And a couple of times I've found half sort of finished or started stories on my computer sort of squirreled away and I'd be like, well, I had no idea where that was going. So,
right.
you know, if I carried on writing it now, it would be a totally different story probably to what it was originally going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and then you also have those times where after you go through and reread it, it's like, oh, my God, I wrote that? You know,
yeah.
That was pretty good.
it's quite funny, actually, because there's some parts of my books I'm just like, that was so cool. And it's not
yeah.
because I wrote it. It's because it genuinely just came through in such a way that you just think, wow, I love that. But I, you know, it's just because it came through me, kind of not from me. And I think, I've managed to reread my books at different times. Usually when one of my readers goes, you need to reread that bit. There's a message in it for you. And I'm like, okay. And I've reread parts and just been kind of amazed because I just don't remember a lot of it, to be honest. I think my readers actually know my books better than I do sometimes.
yeah.
And one of the funniest ones was well, she's my friend now, but she was a book reviewer and she wanted to read one of my books, which is one of the individual ones. And she loved it so much that I received this email from her with sections of text and then her thoughts about each section after it. And it took me to the fourth section of realizing that she was actually quoting the book.
Wow.
Because I just didn't
yeah.
recognize the text at all because she picked out different bits that just
right.
when I was reading it and I had absolutely no recollection that it was part of the story. So, which is, it's quite fun.
It is.
Interesting when it comes to the editing process because you just can't remember what you put in there.
But that's, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, for people who are, you know, to go through the processes, to me, it's, you know, it's something that I'm glad that I did, and I, you know, I think that everyone out there has a story that they can tell, whether it be their story or, you know, something, a message that they want to kind of give the world, or even if it's just, you know, a fantasy that they really wanted to put down into words, you know,
mm-hmm.
that these are things that, you know, I encourage everybody to do. So, well, now, this is the fifth year anniversary of the Earth Angels Training Academy. So that's quite nice.
The title's a bit of a long one. I think if I redid it over now, I'd probably call it something different because, it's quite a long title. But yes, it's five years since the publishing. In 2011, I launched the first edition of it at a dragon festival, which was fun. Not that there's any dragons in the book, I'm afraid to say, but it just so happened that it was the Dragon Festival was happening at the same time, so that's where I launched it.
Well, but you've got a lot of other elementals in there, so
yeah,
it kind of fits.
Yeah, at some point I'd like to do something about dragons. I've actually got a client at the moment that I'm helping publishing his books, and he's written about dragons. It would be good fun.
Well, you know. Yeah, well, if you wouldn't mind, let's share with the listeners the idea. What the Earth Angels Training Academy is about, and why is it that you, how did that idea come to you, and you know, just basically the inspiration for it.
Well, back in 2007, I came across the idea of Earth Angels, the concept that there were beings from other planets and stars and galaxies and realms and dimensions that had come to Earth to be born into human form to help with the spiritual awakening. And this concept really resonated with me and it really just clicked and I loved it. And I realized that you know, I fit into the category of one of the Earth Angels, and all my really close friends did. And it kind of just made my life kind of make sense to me. So it was, you know, it was a concept that I'd read a lot of nonfiction about and obviously, you know, discussed a lot with my friends. And then in 2008 and 9, I was out in New York. I worked as an au pair in New York for 10 months. And that was when I discovered the concept of NaNoWriMo, of writing a book in a month. And again, that resonated with me and clicked with me. And I just thought, you know, this is something that I could do. So I started to play with ideas of what I would write as, you know, in a month. And the original idea was more based on Earth. So it was the idea of an academy that taught magic. But I was just like, well, that's been done so many times where, you know, people are being taught how to be magical. And I thought, well, if these magical beings have come from other realms to Earth, then surely they must have had some training on how to be human. So The idea was born that, you know, these magical beings were actually taught to not be magical and taught what it would feel like to lose their wings and to lose their tails or, you know, their ethereal bodies and have physical bodies and how to deal with human emotions and, you know, human culture and how humans view death. And so just the idea that they must have had some training. You know, you couldn't just put a star person from another planet or a fairy from the elemental realm in a human body living a human life without some kind of, you know, help beforehand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was where the original idea came from. And to be honest, most of my original ideas for the book never actually then made it into the book. Because
okay.
Once I started writing it, the characters turned up and they just, you know, they took over the show, really. And some of my ideas just, yeah, they just never made it in. even though I found them quite amusing and everything, but, you know. That was my original kind of concept. I didn't really plan, like I said, I didn't really plot or plan anything. And then on the 1st of April in 2009, I was flying back from New York back to the UK, and that's when I started writing. I was sat in the airport at JFK, and that's when I started writing the book. But the first 800 or 900 words is the only bit that I wrote longhand. The rest of it I typed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and you know, the idea of, you know, of Earth Angels, and then you know them being here, you know, to help and coming from different dimensions and that kind of thing. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, first of all, I think it's a very creative idea, you know, and I do like the idea of, you know, the academy aspect and being and teaching, you know, the ways of the human in order to prepare people. And and one of the things, you know, you talked about the characters take on their own role. You know, to me, I noticed, and it's really interesting. I had, I don't want to talk about mine, but there was one character I had in one of my book that I started with it, then it just didn't feel right, and I actually changed the name. You know, and this is what I guess one of the downfalls with, you know, kind of do it on the cuff in a way, and then basically chose someone else, another name. But I had to redo what I had already written because it just seemed that the energy of the new chosen character was completely different, you know. So I mean, it does seem as you're writing, you know, these characters come through to you as a writer as being very, very specific in who they are, so to speak, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that was one of the funniest reviews actually that I had. That somebody was going on about how well I developed the characters. And I was just like, I didn't do any developing at all. That is literally who they are. That's what they looked like. That's what they said. That's, you know, and, yeah, one of the characters that was my favorite, her lines, just, you know, her dialogue was just brilliant. She would just say the funniest things. And it's the funniest part is that, you know, it's not the kind of thing that I would say. It's not the kind of thing that I would come up with, you know, and yeah, she became such a kind of personality that I started doing interviews from her point of view online. She had her own Twitter page, her own Facebook page. And
wow.
People would interact with her and talk to her like she was real, because when I was channeling her voice, she just became this, like, entity that was actually, you know, real. She was one of the fairies, so very talkative. But, yeah, whenever she you know, I mean, I have to admit, some of the later books in the series, you know, she's not in some of them, and yeah, she's just so much fun to write that, yeah, any way that I can kind of get her into the story, then I'll do that. But I love that when the characters just kind of turn up and do their thing, and you're just basically typing as fast as possible to keep up with it all. I love that part of the process.
Yeah, that it makes the job of an author much easier when you have some very talkative, you know, characters
mm-hmm.
kind of dictating to you exactly what to write and what to say and that kind of thing. So,
And there's even been a couple of times as well where, you know, sometimes I've been trying to write what I think needs to happen in the story, and then something will happen actually with my electronics that will stop me from being able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Get changed or shifted, and I'm just like, oh, okay, fine. So that's not allowed to happen. I'll change it. So,
right.
How part of the process feels like it's, you know, it's quite guided. It's not, and that's why I say, you know, it comes through me, not from me, because most of the time my ideas really don't make it in there.
Yeah, but in a way, I mean, coming through you, your personality is there. I mean, it's even though they're not necessarily your logically formed, you know, the way I think it should go, you know, that kind of thing. But you know, and one of the things, you know, in addition to like computers kind of acting, did you find that as you were going through this that maybe there were things that happened in your day-to-day life that confirmed what you were doing, or maybe, you know, contributed to the way that the story unfolded?
Yeah, there's been quite a lot of mad sort of synchronicities in that sense. I mean, some of the, well, the first book, The Earth Angel Training Academy, the number of characters that I have now met from that first book it's a bit mad, really. I mean, I'm still amazed by the whole situation, but I've met a lot of the main characters from that book in real life. A lot of them have had the same name. They all have the same sort of characteristics. Sometimes they look like the character from the book, and other times it's, you know, there's been some really kind of spooky kind of coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the later books, later on in the series, I found that I was writing scenes in the book, and then a couple of days later, the exact scene would happen in real life. And some of the things were, you know, were pretty sort of out there, mad things. So then I started writing and saying, well, will that come true? And then it did. And so it was getting a little bit strange, and it got to the point where I didn't know whether it was precognition, as in, like, I was actually seeing what was about to happen, and I was incorporating it into the story, or by writing it, I was making it happen. But yeah, it's quite an interesting process. There's a lot of stories that have happened in the writing of the series so far, where things have come true that I've written in the books. Not everything, obviously.
Right.
There's been a lot of instances that have come true, and yeah, it gets a little bit spooky, because I still am amazed by that kind of thing. I'm still awed by things that happen like that.
Well, you know, and I have noticed that. I had one where I named a character, a postman, that it was like a postman in the character, and I named him Mike, just, you know, and I had someone in mind. I mean, I had no idea, but anyway, come to find out, his name was Mike. You know, it was like, whoa, you know. I think that if you get into that that zone, you know, kind of maybe the like the super conscious or the greater consciousness, that, you know, that it's what you do is maybe just pull, you know, it's kind of like that the guidance that you're given pulls from all of the resources there in order to help create your story, and then you, you know, more than likely will run into those. I mean, it's a confirmation for what it is that you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely, and it does make me more sort of aware of what I'm writing, because sometimes I write stuff and I'm like, no, I don't want that to happen in real life. And I'm kind of going, universe, don't know. I don't want that. And I mean, I have had people sort of say to me, you know, you must be careful what you write, and I'm like, well, if I could choose what I was writing, that would be fine, but like I said, most of the time when I'm trying to choose the story, it's almost not allowed, you know, I've got to go with what's coming through. It's a bit of an interesting one, because I think, well, you know, I could write all the stuff that I want to happen.
Right.
But quite often that's, you know, I mean, I had one of my books, which is one of the individual stories, and I started to see where it was headed. I could sort of feel where it was headed, and I was just like, no, I don't want that to happen. And I tried to resist it, and I tried to change it, and I couldn't. You know, it still headed in that direction, and the only way I kind of not got around it, but the only way that I kind of added my own energy to it was that I wrote this additional ending. It's like an additional epilogue to it, and that kind of that made me feel happier.
With that, it's kind of like I kind of toyed with the idea of, you know, there's. In books, you always have the light and dark, you know, the good versus evil, you know, that kind of back and forth. And you know, obviously I focus on the good and the positive, you know, that's kind of my life, you know. But recently I've been doing something that kind of taps into a dark side, and it's like, I don't know about this. You know, it makes me, it's like, this isn't me, you know. It's interesting because I think, you know, as you're writing, you're really, like you said, a lot of your readers can identify with some of the things that you're writing about. So I think there's this, you know, some very basic common human challenges and types of things that we go through that in your writing, you know, if your characters experience those issues and conquer those issues, those are the things that the readers will be gravitating toward.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the main things that people do connect with is all the relationships in the book, and the aspects of the different relationships and how they work and how they don't work. Because one of the main themes running throughout the series from the first book onwards is about the twin flames. And, you know, a lot of people are experiencing those unions at the moment, and also experiencing all the sort of pain, heartbreak and frustration that goes with it. So a lot of them do really connect to those stories. And to be honest, the main reason that I started writing, so the latest three in the series so far are twin flame based, so they follow the different relationships of the different characters. And the only reason that I started writing more on that theme and going into that was because I asked, you know, my readers, what, you know, of what you've read so far, what do you want to know about the characters? Where should I go from here? What is it that you're interested in? And they were all just like, the relationships, you know, how it works, you know, what happens. So I started exploring a lot of the different ideas around that in those books then. So, it is quite an interactive process, because, like, you know, I do, you know, speak to my readers, and most of them have become friends now. You know, so we chat, and I sort of ask them, you know, what do you want to know? What do you want to hear about? What do you want to sort of see? And, you know, some of them get really attached to particular characters. They're just like, what happened to them? I want to know more. And I mean, obviously, I can never guarantee that, you know, things are going to come out the way that they want to sort of see it. But, and, it, you know, like I said, you know, I don't even know what's going to happen. I mean, I know when I wrote the sequel to the Earth Angel Training Academy, which is The Earth Angel Awakening, I had a very clear picture in my head of what was going to happen in the sequel. And it just didn't happen, at all. The story went in a completely different direction several times to what I had imagined. So, yeah, even I can't sort of guarantee what's going to happen. And the same thing happened again with the third book. In fact, the third book, which is called The Other Side, was meant to be a prequel to the Earth Angel Training Academy. I wanted to tell the story of what happened before, and ended up being set in the same time frame, but told from the point of view of the male characters and of the younger characters as well. So that, because the Earth Angel Training Academy is very female dominated. The main characters are all female. So when I set about writing this prequel, which I wanted to be from the point of view of the Golden Age children, which come in the academy, but they're not really, they don't have a big part in the training academy. But when I started writing, all the male characters, it was literally like they were just lined up in my head waiting to tell their story. And
yeah.
Sort of saying, well, you know, are we going to get our slot now? Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
So the other side ended up being the other side of the Earth Angel Training Academy. And it is literally, it's the same stories at the same time, but it's told from the point of view of all the male characters. So, again, that didn't turn out anything like I, you know, imagined that it would or that I intended it to.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we're halfway through the show, Michelle, so I want to take just a quick break. And I do want to invite listeners, if you'd like to ask Michelle any questions, feel free to call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, feel free to type in any questions that you would like for me to ask Michelle. And we'll get to those right after the break. And then when we come back after the break, Michelle, I want to kind of talk a little bit about some of the topics of the that are in the Earth Angel Training Academy, the human aspects, and just to get your perspective on what the professors taught, or some of their syllabus, so to speak, in the academy. Okay,
that sounds great.
Great. Okay, everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break. Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show. Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Michelle Gordon, and we're talking about her book, The Earth Angels Training Academy, and also her other works. You can find out more about Michelle by visiting her website, which is michellegordon.co.uk. And in the show, I have that link in the show page description, and as well as in the description are links to her blog, twinflameblog.com, and links to her YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter connections. So if you're on those social media platforms, be sure to join her there. Okay, so with that, we're back, Michelle.
Hi there.
Great. Okay. Well, first of all, in the book, you have, in the academy, there are a bunch of professors, and they're all old souls, which is, I think they're all old souls, or most of them were.
There's one angel.
But
yeah.
Yeah, one angel. Yeah, Athena, right? Wasn't she the?
Yes.
Yeah. But so I'd like to kind of maybe just go through a few of them, because see, to me, the topics that they are teaching in the academy, in addition to being, kind of like qualities perfect for an earth angel, to me, they're also qualities that, we can look into, look toward each other as being, angelic, in nature. So, for example, Indigo was in charge with emotions, the human emotions. So, what was Indigo? What's one of his messages about the importance of emotions, human emotions?
Well, I think it's what he was teaching in the academy, teaching Earth Angels, is the range of different emotions that humans feel. You know, some of the beings who've come from other realms of galaxies or planets don't experience emotions in the same way that humans do. So, you know, some of those things will be kind of foreign to them. Especially, like, you know, you've got the angels who come from the angelic realm where there is, you know, pure unconditional love, and that's where they come from. So to experience the feeling of, you know, anger or fear or hate or any of those things is going to be kind of an alien concept to them. So, you know, I think basically the idea is to try and get them used to what it feels like. Because in the academy, although it's still on the other side, you know, things are kind of done in a more human way there. So, you know, you know what it feels like for gravity, and, you know, you actually get a sense of those different emotions. And and I think it's making them aware of the different things and also getting them used to how it feels. So that's why, you know, they end up getting human bodies, so they know what it feels like. So with emotions, they're teaching basically all the different types of emotion, what they feel like, what will trigger it, what will create it. Whereas in the online academy that I've created, basically, as I've done these classes as reminders to Earth Angels of, you know, what they would have learned before they came here, one of the things that I focus on in emotions is how to release the emotions that are trapped in our bodies that we don't need. Because, you know, we think of emotions and feelings as just, you know, as not having any actual physical impact or not having any matter, but they do have a massive, massive impact on our bodies and on our well-being and on our lives. And especially with Earth Angels, when they have, you know, when they're so sensitive, when they pick up on so much, a lot of them have trapped emotions in their bodies that aren't even theirs, because they'll have just absorbed it from their environment, from the people around them. So it's becoming aware of, you know, what triggers different emotions, what emotions might be causing issues within them, and how to deal with it, how to actually release them as well. And also, some Earth Angels find it difficult to express certain emotions. You know, they think that, you know, that they're an Earth Angel or they've come here, you know, to be a spiritual being, so they're not allowed to get angry, or they're not allowed to feel sad and depressed, or they're not, you know, and it's almost giving them that permission to be like, you know, you're here in a human body, you're going to feel this whole range of emotions, and that's cool. You know, if you don't express it, then that's when you're going to create problems. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, that's really, really important. You know, and you mentioned the online academy. Would you mind sharing with listeners what that's all about? Because that's obviously separate from the book.
Yeah. So since writing the book, you know, for the last 5 years, I've kind of had it in mind that I would actually create the academy in real life on this planet, not on the other side. And I'll probably do that when I get home, but to basically help Earth Angels with their missions. I mean, the books, I mean, to be honest, when I first wrote the book, I had no kind of concept of what it was going to actually create, what would happen. I mean, if I knew 5 years ago that I would be at this point, I probably wouldn't have believed it, to be honest. I wrote the first story because it was a story that I wanted to tell. And then since that, and seeing the impact the story has had on people, I've wanted to create a space where, you know, Earth Angels can be reminded of why they're here, and also be reminded of key things that will help them in their mission and help them with their well-being and their life's path. So, yeah, I've now created it. You know, it took me 5 years, but still. I've now created an online academy. So it's an online teaching space where you can take the different classes, and each class will have, you know, discussion on the actual subject, and then there's activities, and there's different sort of things in each one, but each one goes into the subject in a little bit more depth and helps people to remember things. It's like, I'll talk about how there's different types of Earth Angels, you know, the angels and the fairies and the old souls, and how they deal with emotions or how they communicate or, you know, their purpose is all very different depending on where they come from. So the Online Academy really goes into more detail and depth on that. And also I have, you know, brought in some of the stories from the books as well into the classes as well. So it's kind of like an interactive thing for the readers to be a part of the book, basically.
Yeah. Well, and that, I think that's wonderful. Yeah, and I can see where when you wrote the book, that you would not have foreseen creating an online version of it, particularly, you know, with internet in its burgeoning stage there. And that's great. Now, the book really kind of, in an academy, kind of talks about the idea of the these entities or spirits or angels, earth angels, being trained and prepped, so to speak, that for their time on Earth. Here. And now, and when you mentioned the other side, I think in your book, don't you kind of indicate that this realm is kind of like between Earth and the other side? It's kind of like that elemental realm, is that correct?
So, yeah, so the elemental realm is on this planet, but it's in a higher vibrational dimension to us. So the elementals, the fairies, basically wherever we have anything natural, trees, forests, plants, animals, wherever, you know, in the gardens, that's where the elementals are. That's the elemental kingdom. But they vibrate at a much higher vibration than us. So, of course, we don't always see them. Some people do, but we don't always see them because we're vibrating at a lower, lower energy. So the angelic realm I see as being completely, you know, on the other side, which is closer to where the academy is. And then obviously the star people have come from other galaxies and planets, and the mer people then have come from the oceans on this planet and on other planets as well. But again, they vibrate at a higher rate, so you wouldn't necessarily see them either.
Yeah. Now, the... You know, I guess the question I want to ask now is, do you feel that that we can, someone can be here on this plane, the Earth plane, and not necessarily have incarnated with the idea of being an Earth angel, but actually take on the qualities and becoming one?
Yeah, I think, I think that's one of the reasons why we are, you know, awakening people and reminding people of their origins, is so that more people get into that energy of helping others. I mean, I think everybody has the capacity to help others, to, you know, live from that space of unconditional love, which is essentially what the Earth Angels have come to do, is to, you know, to be from that space of unconditional love and inspire others to do the same. And I think anybody can do that. And I think when it comes to the idea of Earth Angels and light workers and all the spiritual sort of subjects, it's a way of helping us to feel like we belong here. And it's a way of inspiring us and motivating us. And so, you know, when you get into that dark space and you can't see the point of any of it, then it's a light. It's something to hold on to. It's like, you know, well, I chose to come here. I decided to come here to help with the awakening. That's what I'm doing here. And when things get tough, you know, it's just a reminder that, you know, we chose to come here to help. And anything that we do to shine a little light for somebody else is helping and is making a difference. So no matter what, you know, what labels we put on it, that's basically it. It's acting from a place of love and kindness and helping others.
Yeah, good. Well, you know, I see, you know, the idea of the online version doing that, you know, basically highlighting the quality, the behavior, you know, the idea of being of service, you know, and kind of doing that, and then kind of you get the idea and then go forth and do it, you know, kind of, you know.
Yeah, feeling. I think a lot of Earth Angels, a lot of people have this feeling of overwhelm, and they get stuck, and they, you know, they think that they have to do something big, you know, and that's really overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Or they think that they couldn't possibly make a difference, and And like the fairy, like Aria in the book, you know, she's just like, I'm so small, what kind of difference would I possibly make? And I think it's just remembering that every single thing makes a difference. You know, it doesn't matter how small it is, doesn't matter if nobody really notices, or, you know, just everything that you do from a place, you know, of loving intention,
mm-hmm.
is going to cause
mm-hmm.
a ripple, is going to create a difference. And I mean, that's one of the other classes, although it's not going to be one of the online classes available, but one of the classes in the academy in the book is cause and effect. You know, it's learning about how everything we do has an effect, everything, whether it's positive or negative. And in fact, you know, good and bad, positive and negative, it's all just our perception of it that makes it good or bad. You know, everything just having an effect. It's up to us to decide whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, I'm sure you've probably had the experience where something seems like it's the end of the world, and then a little while later you're like, wow, I'm so glad that happened.
Yes, yeah.
Because, it created this massive change, or it made a big difference, but in a positive way in the end, even though it seemed really bad at the time. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I have one section in one of my books, you know, from the Garth Brooks song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. You know, it's like, phew, thank goodness I didn't, that did not come true. That was, I think, Suede was the one who taught cause and effect in the book, in your book, too. So,
good memory.
I made notes as I was reading. So, one of the topics that you cover also is death, you know. Would you mind kind of sharing just a little bit, because it's funny, because in the book, you know, when initially the new attendees to the academy are introduced to death, so to speak, you know, there is a typical, that human reacts like,
mm-hmm.
oh boy, you know. So would you mind sharing a little bit about what the academy teaches, or what particularly what Corduroy taught about death?
Well, I mean, what Corduroy is trying to do in the academy in the book is to, again, get the different Earth Angels used to basically what humans believe about death. And as Velvet points out, you know, the angels won't believe any of it because they know it's not true. They know that, you know, nobody goes to hell. Everybody comes to the angelic realm, everybody, you know. But he's trying to get them used to all the different concepts so that they don't fear it as much. And I know, you know, there are a lot of Earth Angels who do have different fears about it. I mean, I know myself, you know, as a child, I had a lot of fears around death. And most of it was the fear of not existing, which is quite an interesting thing. It was just that sort of feeling of what happens when I don't exist. You know,
mm-hmm.
when my consciousness is no longer in this form and it's no longer aware in this way, what happens then? Like, it used to freak me out. I used to get panic attacks as a child and as a teenager, and
mm-hmm.
I think that's part of what sparked my writing about life after death, about spiritual subjects, is because I was trying to make sense of it, and I was also trying to, I suppose, figure out what does happen, you know, when you pass over, when you die, when you leave this realm. And I've had a lot of experiences growing up with spirits, with different entities and ghosts and ideas like that. So I suppose I knew that there was something after you died. I mean, I didn't ever believe that there was nothing. But I,
mm-hmm.
I suppose I was just trying to be okay with it myself. So that's why it features quite a lot in a lot of my books. And I think Corduroy has the best of intentions, but he, having been, you know, being an old soul, having had thousands of lifetimes, having died in every different way possible, and having seen some fairly horrific ways of dying, he's trying to, I suppose, prepare them. But he has a little bit too much fun with it, and his classes are known for being pretty terrifying. So, you know, in the beginning, when Velvet sort of drops by unexpectedly, he's found in the middle of a pretty nasty scene, and he's like, oh, I thought you were dropping by a bit later. And she's like, yeah, you were going to be some tamer then, weren't you? Yeah. He's trying to kind of get them used to the fact that it's not all sort of rainbows and roses or whatever it is that he says. But, yeah, for me, you know, the concept of debt, I think through the books and through the classes, is to get people used to the idea that, yeah, we do definitely, you know, go into a different form. It's more of a transformation than an ending for me. And that we are still connected to everyone, whether they're here or not. And they can hear us, you know, they can see us, sometimes we can see them. And for me, I mean, it's not something that I've explored in my books yet, but for me, I do believe that people who have passed on just literally live in a slightly, like the elementals, in a slightly higher vibrational dimension to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're still there, they're just vibrating a little bit too fast so we can't see them. And that does come a little bit into my book, in the Visionary Collection, I'm Here. And that book was actually co-written with a spirit who's a friend of mine. So, yeah, he wrote his side of the story from the dimension where he is.
mm-hmm.
And I just wrote exactly, you know, what he told me to, and we, yeah, we wrote the story together. So, yeah, essentially spirits are just there all the time. They just, you know, in a slightly different
yep.
place.
Exactly,
and then
exactly.
That's why they can get through in dreams and stuff. So.
Yeah, very much so. Well, you know, so anyway, I enjoyed reading The Academy. I mean, it was, I mean, shorten it. it was entertaining and really had a lot of good ideas, and I loved the characters. I mean, it was fun, you know, and I, you know, it was, it's one of those things that just, I think, opens up, you know, your mind to possibilities, and in recognition also of the different dimensions that are all around us. You know, and that to me, that's a very empowering kind of perspective to have.
Absolutely, and it's, you know, the one thing that I've found quite interesting so far is that there's a lot of people who have read it who just love, you know, they love Harry Potter and they love sci-fi and they love fantasy
mm-hmm.
And they've read it just expecting to read a story, and then they've been intrigued by some of the ideas to the point where they then start reading more about the different subjects. Whereas, and they're not the kind of people that you'd ever find in the mind, body, spirit section in a bookstore. So that's been quite an interesting one for me, because I, you know, I wrote them in a fictional way. I wrote them as stories because I love stories, and there weren't enough stories on these subjects for me. So that's why I wanted to explore it in a fictional sense. And also, I've never expected or wanted other people to believe what I believe. I want people to come to their own conclusions and ideas, and I suppose presenting my theories and ideas and concepts in fiction just meant that I wasn't asking anybody to believe in it. And
mm-hmm.
I've been surprised
yeah.
in how many people have believed in it. You know, I've had quite interesting incidents where some people, when they've, you know, I've done some mind, body, spirit fairs and book fairs, and you know, some people have actually gotten quite passionate about the fact that it's not fiction. you know, it's just like, yeah, okay, calm down, it's cool. and people who have remembered being at the Academy, they've said quite clearly they remember being there, they remember, you know, attending it, and it's as they remember.
wow.
So it's been quite fun to see the reaction from people. Yeah, I mean, some people, I mean, one lady emailed me and she said that she'd even had the exact same visions as Velvet, as the main character.
Oh, is that right?
Exactly as I described them, and I was just like, wow, that's quite cool. So yeah, it's been quite interesting to see people's reaction to it. And like I said, it's fun, you know, it's not really
right.
heavy.
yes,
know,
exactly.
It's meant to be kind of a more lighthearted read, because I don't do sort of heavy, dense, descriptive,
yeah.
you know, writing. So,
that's good. Yeah. There's
more
plenty of that around if you want that. you know, yeah. Well, you know, gosh, we're getting down toward the end of the show, but there's one thing I wanted to mention before we ended, and that is I noticed on your blog that you have what you call the Spirit Warrior series or the Goddess Warrior series.
Yeah.
I'd love for you to share, you know, what that is, because I really liked the profiles that you had there.
Yeah, that was an idea I had last year, actually, and I didn't do anything with it, but it started with the Spirit Warrior series, which is about spiritual men who have gone from very physical masculine jobs to very spiritual, not more feminine jobs, but more spiritual, mm-hmm. metaphysical work. And I had a lot of guys in my life, a lot of friends and people that I knew who had made this transition from the physical to the metaphysical. And I wanted to basically tell a little bit about them and a bit about their stories to people who, you know, who follow my work and that, because I think it's quite amazing what they've done. And they're all so down to earth and they're all so, you know, normal. And mm-hmm. I just thought that it would be inspiring to other men who were thinking of doing the same thing or wanting to do the same thing, to see these people who, you know, see these guys who had done that. So, yeah, the interviews are sort of, the angle is, you know, asking them what they used to do, what they do now, you know, how they found the transition, whether they've had support from the people around them or whether people have reacted badly to it. And I've only been doing it for the last couple of weeks, but it's been getting a really good response from guys going, this is, you know, this is really inspiring. I feel like, you know, this is giving me the sort of the motivation and the energy to do what I want to do. And then the Goddess Warrior series was, I suppose, born of doing the Spirit Warrior. I wanted to have a balance between the masculine and the feminine, because I think there should be balance when you do things. And I also know a lot of amazing women who are on their spiritual path and they're doing incredible work, and I wanted to kind of tell their side of the story as well. So another one went out today, and then so yeah, I'm doing one Spirit Warrior, one Goddess Warrior every week, and obviously I'll keep it going as long as I actually get people you know, filling in the interview, but yeah, it's had a really good response so far, and it's just sort of my way of telling the stories of the people that I know and the people that I've met over the last few years, because I think, you know, more people need to know about what they're doing. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, I enjoyed reading them, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to make sure to highlight them for people when they go to your website, to go to the blog, to check that out, because, you know, it's wonderful to tell these stories. Again, you know, it's, like you say, it's very confirming for both men and women who are, you know, doing work of helping others and shifting from traditional to basically a new perspective, a new paradigm, and it's really it's great to see examples, because I think it gives people courage to, or first of all, there's, you know, some recognition that, oh well, someone else has done it, I can do it, you know, then then it gives them in some cases a roadmap of what to do too as well.
Yeah, I find it inspiring when I see other authors, you know, who have gone down the path that I want to go down, and it's just finding that inspiration. And I think especially with guys, you know, a lot of them don't kind of, you know, talk as much as women. I think it's harder to find that kind of information, especially when it comes to spiritual stuff. I mean,
right.
The idea actually came up when I was contemplating creating a spiritual magazine, and I wanted the magazine to be for both men and women, because almost all the spiritual magazines that exist are entirely focused on women,
mm-hmm.
which I find kind of bizarre, really. So that's, you know, that's part of the other reason why it came up, that I wanted to give that platform for guys to share their stories, and yeah, to see that you don't have to be, you know, really sort of, well, you don't have to dress like a hippie, or you don't have to, you know, be
right.
You know, reach way
right.
out there. You can be really quite down
right.
to earth. And a lot of the men that, you know, being featured, you know, they used to be in the police, or they used to be in the financial services, or they used to be, you know, a tree surgeon or whatever it is.
Right.
And now they, you know, they're Reiki masters and sound healers and dowsers, and they believe in fairies and angels and, you know, all the rest of it. So it's been quite a fun thing to put together. So I'm looking forward to featuring more people on that.
Well, great. Well, Michelle, this has really been a delight. I really wanted to thank you for your time and joining us and sharing your insight, and also the Earth Angels Training Academy. And I follow you on Facebook and on Twitter, so I'm looking forward to seeing more that comes from you and those all the warriors too. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
Great. Again, everyone, today my very special guest joining us from the UK has been Michelle Gordon, and we've been talking about her book, The Earth Angel Training Academy. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is michellegordon.co.uk. And again, there's a direct link to her website in the show page description, as well as to her blog, YouTube channel, Facebook, and Twitter. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.